You can probably tell that it's the tune to the song Immortal, Invisible. But the way I just played it now is not how we usually hear it played here during our worship time. Usually, we play more than one note, maybe two notes together, like this. Or maybe three notes. Or maybe all four notes, like this. Rich and meaningful lyrics to create wonderful expressions of praise to our God. And all that's needed now are your voices to sing the melody and the harmonies. Turn in your gray hymnal to number 460. The words will not be projected. You'll need your songbook. We're going to celebrate the harmony, the blend, the variety of God's character while singing the four stanzas of number 460, Immortal, Invisible. And feel free to sing the harmonies if you are able. And we're going to sing the second stanza without the organ, and we will remain seated as we sing. So full of harmonious expressions of God's character and His work. And this morning we're going to get a taste of that blendedness from Luke chapter 1. Three different people are filled with the Holy Spirit. Two pregnancies begin despite impossible circumstances. Two songs are sung proclaiming praise to God. Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed,
"Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished."
And Mary said,
"My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will be called blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers."
Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said,
"No, he is to be called John."
"There is no one among your relatives who has that name."
Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "Immediately, his mouth was opened, and his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God. The neighbors were all filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking,
'What then is this child going to be?'
For the Lord's hand was with him. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied,
'Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies, and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hands of our enemies, and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace."
And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It is right around the year 2000 BC. Abraham is 100 years old, and his wife Sarah is 90 years old, when the unbelievable happens. They become parents to their biological son, Isaac. This child is evidence of God's promise. God will be their God, and they will be his people. And they will do that by being obedient. And God expects Abraham and Sarah and their descendants to be obedient to his commands, but they aren't obedient. The entire human race has been sinful all the way back to Adam and Eve. And going forward, the entire Old Testament is filled with the wreckage of the disobedience of all peoples and nations, even God's chosen people Israel. Zechariah, as a priest, continues with the rest of Israel in that same struggle with sin by tending to the ceremonies and sacrifices as expressions of the people's repentance. And Mary and Elizabeth are also fully aware of their need for God's mercy. Even though the two songs of today's text are songs of praise, they also acknowledge that God's people need his mercy desperately. And the nation of Israel has other problems too. In years past, it's been the Philistines, the Assyrians, and the Babylonians. God promised that he would be their God. But every time they turn away from him, there he goes again, punishing them, even to the point of letting them be dragged off into captivity some 400 years earlier to Babylon. And right now, it's the Romans. It seems like they are everywhere, interfering with the very peculiar faith practices of the Jews. The people of Israel have great anxiety about the ongoing mistreatment and oppression from these Romans. No wonder Mary and Zechariah both sing about the fear that Israel has of their enemies. We've got our own fears that make us worried. Just 9 days ago, Pierce O'Farrell was shot 3 times in the left leg and left arm in that shooting attack in the movie theater in Aurora, Colorado. He, along with dozens of others, face a troubling journey of healing their bodies and their hearts. And this tragedy has a way of making us all fearful in some way or another. We're afraid of other things too. Some of us are dealing with some difficult health challenges, either of our own or of our loved ones and friends. We're afraid of the effects of this drought. For some of us, we are facing the immediate testing of our time and efforts and resources to care for the land and livestock. For others of us, we'll have to deal with the likely fallout of increased prices later this summer and fall. And like Israel, Mary, Elizabeth, and Zechariah, we can't get out from underneath the guilt of our sin either. What was it yesterday? Or even this morning? Losing our patience with the kids? Thoughtless treatment of our spouse? Holding a grudge against someone in this room for days, months, or even years? A prideful spirit? Looking at pornographic materials? Wasting time or money or abilities? Lying? Fear and guilt, they get us down and discouraged, just like they got Israel and Mary and Elizabeth and Zechariah discouraged and down. But God had a plan from the very beginning. And now, a few thousand years later, after the life of Abraham, He's putting that plan into action by sending babies of all things. And one of them makes the announcement of the other. First, there's Mary. The Holy Spirit comes upon her in some amazing way so that a child begins to live within her. She's so excited to be part of God's plan that she heads out on a trip to visit her relative Elizabeth. And the Holy Spirit keeps on working, this time filling Elizabeth, an elderly woman. And the Holy Spirit causes her own miraculous baby to jump up and down inside of her and prompts Elizabeth to pronounce blessings on Mary and her miraculous unborn baby. And Mary begins to express the deep joy within her soul. She begins by thanking God for working in her own life. And then as her song goes along, she continues to praise God for His greatness among all those who fear Him. Verse 46 to 55 contain all these different kinds of ideas about God. God is merciful. God is Savior. God is aware of our troubles. God is the Mighty One. God is holy. God is just. God is benevolent. God is helpful. God as Holy Spirit not only stirs Mary to praise Him about what He has done in the past, He also directs her to praise Him and speak of things that will happen in the future, using phrases and words like from generation, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. Then there's Zechariah. He's got a problem. God closed his mouth, and most likely his ears as well, all because he doubted that God could give him and his wife a child in their old age. Imagine the partying and the celebration when old Elizabeth gives birth to this boy. And then all eyes turn to Zechariah to see how he responds to Elizabeth's idea for the baby's name. And when he writes, "His name is John," the Holy Spirit comes on him. And he can't just keep quiet about it. Zechariah's praise moves along in the opposite order of Mary's. Zechariah begins with God's activity in raising up a horn or strength from David's house and line from the nation of Israel. And then he moves on to focus on the life of his newborn child and the child who comes after him. And all through Zechariah's words of praise are these descriptions of our God. God is the Redeemer. God is strong. God is the Protector. God is the Rescuer. God equips. God lights the way for His people. God guides our feet. Just like Mary, Zechariah not only gives thanks for what God has done in the past, but he also praises God for his work in the future in the lives of his people. Mary and Zechariah both speak of things that they have not yet experienced, and yet they praise God for it. Notice that both of these expressions of praise have overlapping ideas of God and his work. We could say they are harmonious and they are blended together. God is strong. He protects. He rescues. He guides. He's the Mighty One. He's helpful. And he's aware of the troubles of his people. And God is also the Redeemer. He's merciful. He's the Savior. Mary and Zechariah are celebrating the many cooperating and harmonious virtues and attributes and actions of God. As Mary and Zechariah sing their songs, they realize that God is working in their everyday physical lives, and He is working in their eternal spiritual lives. God gives them strength to face their everyday troubles, and He also provides them with forgiveness for their sins through His mercy. When God shows His mercy, He overlooks the fact that there is no way that His people deserve salvation. And yet, He gives it anyway. Mary and Zechariah both know how to respond to God's physical and spiritual care. First of all, they can't keep it to themselves. They can't help it. The Holy Spirit speaks through them, and they don't fight it. They are well aware of the history of their people and what God has done and is going to do for them. and they also understand that God requires them to respond to Him by living a life that is holy and righteous. But even in this, of living holy and righteous, it's God who enables them to do that. Mary and Zachariah each sing a song that harmonizes together thoughts of all that God is and does for them. There's no more need for them to be fearful. They don't have to be afraid of the current Roman occupation. They don't have to be afraid to confess their sin. God is their Redeemer in every single way. Pierce O'Farrell understands God's care for both his physical life and his soul, and he knows how to live a holy and righteous life. Pierce is an employee of the Denver Rescue Mission, a Christian agency. He told the Denver Post that when he saw images of James Holmes at his first court appearance last Monday, he felt sorrow for him. He said, "Of course I forgive him with all my heart. When I saw him in his hearing, I felt nothing but sorrow for him. He's just a lost soul right now. I want to see him sometime. The first thing I want to say to him is, I forgive you. And the next thing, can I pray for you?" Pierce gets what it means to trust God with even the most troubling and difficult parts of our lives. He knows that God is taking care of him as well as caring for the one who caused him such great harm. Pierce knows that it's his responsibility to forgive, even in the middle of such tragedy. God is the great Redeemer and Protector and shows His mercy to all of us too. When our bodies are struggling to stay healthy and strong, God equips us to face those struggles and trust Him with every aspect of those troubles. When it seems like drought and other financial problems are overwhelming, God assures us of His love for us and reminds us of His presence and His strength, even in the toughest of times. And just like Mary and Zechariah and the people of Israel, God deals with our guilt and our sin too. They didn't know all the details of how God was going to work this big rescue project out, but we certainly know how that all came into being. Those babies, conceived in amazing ways, were just the beginning of an amazing redemption plan. Today, we know that one of those babies was God's Son, Jesus. God bought us back from the power of sin that seems to overwhelm us. The price He paid was the life of His very own Son, Jesus. He paid for us from within His very own self, the very Son of God. God loves and cares for us both in this life and all eternity. Many of us have been well aware of this fact for a very long time, and perhaps others of us for not so very long. But either way, how are we to respond to knowing that story of God's love and His care? Mary and Zechariah give us a few ideas. Let's switch around the way we live our lives. Let's grab onto God's power to resist the many temptations that we face. It's okay to say out loud to God, I'm in trouble. I need you to help me resist this temptation. Lead me. Guide me. When God helps us resist evil, then the door opens for us to live in the opposite way. God can then equip and strengthen us to live holy and righteous lives. Mary and Zechariah show us another way to respond to God's love and care. We can harmonize with them. We can share with others about the wonderful blend of God's love and His power. We can tell about it, sing about it, or write about it using words that He gives us through the power of His Holy Spirit. It's a story that is bigger than any other news headline, and we've got the scoop on it. Mary and Zechariah have shared their version in our text today. What's our version for this news? What's my version of the news? What's your version of this news? Let's think about the specific details of how God is working in each one of our lives, both in saving us from our sin and equipping us to face the challenges of every single day. How shall we say it? Where do we begin? What words can we use? There is a set of words that has been around for a long time. The Apostles' Creed helps us summarize God's love and care for all of us. And when we each tell our own individual stories, all we have to do is add our own personal details about our own experience with our God. Let's praise God by speaking the words of this creed together. It's in your gray hymnal on page 813. God's people have been using these words to express their faith for at least 1,700 years. Let's stand and add our voices to their voices. Please stand. We say together, I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please pray with me. O Lord our God, You have given to us the glorious gospel of our risen Savior and Master. Grant that as we joyfully receive the good news for ourselves, so may we also gratefully share it with others and ever give glory to You, by whose grace alone we are what we are, through the same Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We We've been in this place for a little over an hour, focused on God, hearing His Word, confessing our sin, giving praise and thanks to Him for being our God. And He sends us on our way with good words. Be blessed as we listen. Go out into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold on to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Help the suffering. Honor all. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forevermore. Amen.